Well, good morning, Glenn Kirk, and those who are joining us from wherever you are. I just pray the goodness and the grace and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the upsides of this pandemic and not being able to meet together is when you preach, you don't have to say, hey, let's all turn off our phones. But we would appreciate, even if you're at home, if you do that, and we focus on the majesty and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. A meme has been going around that says this: can we not all agree that in 2015, not a single person got the answer correct to, where did you see yourself in 5 years? I mean, did anybody see themselves in the midst of a pandemic? Recently, after a kind of long, difficult day, my husband and I were getting ready for bed, and I turned to him and I said, you know, dear, this COVID-19, it's been so strange. You know, today did not even seem like Monday. And he looked at me and he said, well, dear, that's probably because it's Tuesday. I mean, all day I had been living like it's Monday. That's the kind of world we live in right now. We are feeling discombobulated with these uncertain times. Masks and social distancing have become the norm. Uncertainty about jobs, the economy, the opening or not of schools, really the uncertainty about the future. We have social unrest around our nation, divisions and strife, animosity across social media, and who knows how much animosity hidden behind closed doors. Andy Stanley said this: we have made a God out of certainty. And so in the midst of all that we are going through, it is so hard to deal with the uncertainty. Uncertainty breeds with it the sense that we do not have control. And the reality is we don't. And a study out of Holland showed, scientists had looked at a lot of different people, and they showed that what caused people fear, what caused people angst, what caused people the inability to sleep in the middle of the night wasn't unhappiness, wasn't lack of money. It was uncertainty, the not knowing. This past week, for the second time in a little over a year, our sweet little grandniece Lily was taken to Children's Hospital because she had had a seizure. One moment she's dancing around, singing, and the next she's having a seizure. And what my niece Carrie, her mother said, our niece Carrie said was, I just want to plan. I just want to know. And that's really where we all are. We want to plan. We want to know in the midst of all this uncertainty. And so in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of an economy that we don't know where it's going, we look to the God who is our rock, our Redeemer, the one we can hold on to. We're going to look at Psalm 91. And Max Lucado said of this passage, if you know nothing of the Bible, start here. And if you know everything of the Bible, return here. And Jimmy Stewart, the great actor, when he was going to World War II to fight, his father gave him a copy of Psalm 91, praying it over his life. Hear God's word now as it comes to us from Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is present tense right now in the midst of a pandemic. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Will you bow in a word of prayer with me, please? Gracious God, we pray now that you would fill each of our hearts with the presence of your Holy Spirit. That whatever we are facing, O God, we would know that we can face it with the Most High, Almighty Lord, who is our God. Be with us now, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. So when our kids were young, we had kind of this little slogan, this little song we would sing. Our kids would say, Daddy 911, if they needed help, if they, you know, a light bulb went out or they couldn't reach something or something broke, they'd say, Daddy 911, with the idea that Daddy would come and help them. Well, this scripture is Abba, Daddy 911, Psalm 91:1, 911, Daddy 911. I've heard it said, and people have said this to me, and maybe they've said it to you, that your faith in God is a crutch. And the way I respond is, yes, yes, God is my crutch. I lean upon him. Trust me, I cannot stand apart from his strength. And recently, I pulled a muscle in the back of my left leg. And so what's happened is just out of nowhere, my knee will buckle. And it is a really disconcerting feeling when you're just walking along thinking you're master of your own destiny. You're going up the stairs, down the stairs, and suddenly your leg buckles. And I lean upon something. The ability of whatever I lean on to hold me up is only as good as the strength and the integrity of what I lean on. And when we see Psalm 91, what we see is a Daddy 911 who is fully trustworthy, fully able to hold us up no matter what we are going through. He is there. He is with us. Who are you going to lean on? Daddy 911, who are you going to call out to when life slips from underneath you? The scripture says that this God in Psalm 91, 911, Abba, Daddy 911, is the Most High, Elyon, strongest of the strong. There is no one higher. It doesn't say he's kind of high, he's almost as high as, no, he's the Most High. There is none that is higher than this God as revealed in the 66 books of the Bible. You know, there's been a big debate about which superhero is the best. And, you know, people have different opinions, people argue it. Well, I did a little bit of research this week, and it leans towards Superman. You know, able to leap tall buildings, able to, you know, block a bullet. He's pretty fast. But do you know that even Superman, as strong as we all think he is, can be stopped by the Green Lantern and by Green Kryptonite? Nobody. No matter what poll, no matter what people think, there is nobody who's higher than the Most High God as revealed in the Holy Scripture. Psalm 83:18, let them know that you whose name is the Lord, that you alone are the Most High over all the earth. Goes on to say he is the Almighty, Shaddai, all-powerful, the Almighty God can do everything he has promised in his word. He is fully trustworthy, and there is no pandemic, there is no uncertainty, there's no sudden rush of scary bad news that can stop him from being faithful to all that he has given to us. He is great and awesome. Nothing is too difficult for him. Unlimited power, answerable to no one. He is the highest, the mightiest, the all-powerful, without limit. Who are you leaning on? Or what are you leaning on? There's that children's Sunday school song that says, my God is so big, so strong, and so able, there's nothing my God cannot do for you. And a great theological hymn from VeggieTales, God is bigger than the boogeyman, he's bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV, or anything that life can throw at us. He is the Almighty, Most High God. Goes on to say, he is my Lord, Yahweh. God revealed himself to Moses, the great I am that I am, and I will be who I will be. That he is the master, he's the boss, he's in charge. He's not just Lord over part, but over all, in control, in charge. Goes on to say, he is my God, Elohim, the maker, the creator. He created out of nothing. At a very conservative estimate, he created over 350,000 billion galaxies. And Francis Chan says of this, do you think maybe it was to make us say, wow, God is big? Or perhaps God wanted us to see these pictures so that our response would be, who do I think I am? God is so big and personal. He is my God, my Lord. He is not a God who is far off. He's not a God who can't hear you. He's not a God who's taken a cruise somewhere and doesn't know that you are struggling, that you are facing challenges that are hard. In verse 1, it says, we dwell in the shelter of the Most High. This is a daily walk with this God, and when we do this, we are covered over in the shadow of His presence. This shadow that it says we rest in is not a place, but it is a person. That the presence of the Most High Almighty God covers us, protecting us, holding us dear. This passage says He is our shelter, our dwelling place, our covering, our protection, our refuge, our fortress. Daddy 911, who or what are you leaning on? The reality of this Most High, Almighty Lord, who is God, is that His preeminence means He is sovereign, even at this moment when it is so scary for so many, that there is none like Him, even in unprecedented times. He knows the beginning from the end. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. While we don't know all that's going on right now, we don't know the plan, He does. And as recipients of the unprecedented love of God, we can fully lean into Him and trust Him. I love that the worship band sang His eye is on the sparrow. You know, that picture comes from the Gospels. In Matthew 6, we see that when Jesus is trying to encourage His followers not to worry, He gives a picture of a sparrow who in that society was really worthless. But He says, I care for the sparrow. If I care for the sparrow, how much more do I care for you? How much more do I love you? We can bank our hope on the reality that God is all-loving. A few chapters later in Matthew, in verse 8, Matthew chapter 8, there's a huge storm and the disciples are all worked up. And Jesus, with His power, calms the wind and the waves, and the people are just blown away. And they're like, who is this? Who is this that can even calm the waves and the wind? God is all powerful. Now think about this for a minute. You see, if God was all loving, but not all powerful, be kind of wishy-washy. And let's say God is all powerful, but He's not living, kind of dangerous. He is all loving, and He is able. He is all powerful. He is the one that we can fully place our hope in and trust that He will hold us up, that no matter what ground is shaking underneath us, we can lean upon Him. Psalm 8, 3 and 4, when I look at the night sky and see the work of Your fingers, O God, the moon and the stars that You set in place, that speaks of His majesty and power. What are mere mortals that You should think about them? What am I that You should care for me? But He does. And I want to look at how we can practically now live into this. That when we forget whatever I said, and we go on and we face our next struggle, how can we practically live into the truth that this is the Almighty Daddy 911 that we can trust in and put our full weight into and not fall? I think it starts with really praying through the Scripture. This past week, two different people shared with me that they have memorized this psalm, Psalm 91. And one of my friends who's in Florida, just 2 miles from the coast where the hurricane is threatening, said that she memorized it a couple years ago. And every morning she begins her day by saying it. Not because it's some magical incantation, because it's reminding her, as it will remind us if we go there, that He is the Most High, the Almighty, that He covers us under His feathers, that He puts His angels guard around us, it says, that we pray the Scriptures. Soren Kierkegaard said this, when you read God's Word, you must constantly be saying to yourself, it is talking to me. It's talking about me. When God says, for God so loved the world, He's talking about you. He's talking about me, that He loves us. And oftentimes we allow the lies of Satan, and you know, just an insight into this passage is Psalm 91 is the one scripture that Satan actually quotes. He quotes it three times in the Gospels. And what he does is he distorts it. He takes the truth of God's word and then he distorts it. And the way Jesus responds is with the word of God. For the Lord has said, thou shalt not test the Lord our God. He fights Satan's lies with the word of God. And that is how we stand, by leaning into the truth of who God is and what he promises. You know, you might be going through such a hard time that you begin to doubt that God is even with you. You know what the scripture says about that? God says, be content with what you have. For never, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. See, we stand on that promise. Maybe you think, you know, things have gone so bad again. You know, God's forgotten you. You feel like you're nobody right now. Listen to what the word says to us, what God himself. He says, I have engraved you. I have engraved your name on the palm of my hand. So precious are you to me that I have engraved your name on the palm of my hand. He says, you are the apple of my eye. Under my wings, you will be protected. He says in 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished upon us. How great is the love that this Daddy 911 has lavished upon us. He hasn't been stingy with this love. He has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God. And that's what we are, the children of the living God. We can dwell in his presence, knowing that we are covered under his powerful promise. How do we live into it? Well, there's a marquee just a few blocks from Glenkirk here, a church marquee that says this, time to start exercising, run from Satan and walk with God. Run from Satan and walk with God. And the scripture says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's a promise. And then it says, or that's a command, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And then it says, resist the devil, also a command, and the promise, and he will flee. And that's what he did when Jesus confronted him with the truth of God's word. And that's what will happen when we take hold of the word of God and when we lean into it to hold us up no matter what we are going through. Amen. I wish there was a group here that could say amen back. Amen. But if you're in your home, just say it. Amen. If you believe this, take hold of it. Amen. I have a God who will never leave nor forsake me. I have a God who went to the cross and gave his life that I might live and have relationship with him. Amen. Amen. Thank you. There's somebody right over here saying amen. Thank you for that. And yet, if we are going to walk with this God, it means daily trusting, to daily dwell. You know, somebody has said God is not a hotel keeper. He's not an Airbnb manager. He's a homemaker. That we dwell with God daily, living with him, leaning into him daily. Whom or what are you trusting? It's a choice every day to say, I'm going to open the word. I am going to dwell in the presence of God. And even when I don't understand, I will trust. When Johnny Erickson Tada, who had become a quadriplegic at a young age, received a second cancer diagnosis, the Christian author and evangelist said this, you know, one moment you're going about your business and the next you've run headlong and into an immovable object and you recoil and you say, this can't be happening. But it just did, she said. When I received the unexpected news of cancer from my oncologist, I relaxed and smiled, knowing that my sovereign God loves me dearly and holds me tightly in his hands. What good is it if we only trust the Lord when we understand his ways? That only guarantees a life filled with doubts and uncertainty. See, even if I'm uncertain about the future, I can be certain that God is faithful to every single one of his commands and promises. Amen. Harriet Tubman, who was born into slavery on a Maryland plantation in 1822, believed strongly in the God of Scripture. Her mother passed on her faith, passed on the Bible stories, her mother's godly example in the midst of all the uncertainty that surrounded them as slaves, the struggle. All of this developed in Harriet a deep and abiding trust, faith in the God of Psalm 91.
After Harriet Tubman escaped the evil of slavery, it was her faith in this God that challenged her to risk it all to help others. And she gave all the credit to God. You know, she never lost one person that she was giving passage to. She gave all the credit to God. She said, "It was all because of him. It wasn't me. It was the Lord. I always told him, 'I trust in you. I don't know where to go or what to do, but I expect you to lead me.'" And she said, "He always did." Her faith in this almighty, most high God impressed others. Abolitionist Thomas Garrett said it this way: "I never met with any person of any color who had more confidence and trust in the voice of God as Harriet Tubman, as he spoke into her soul." God is faithful. I don't know what's going to happen with the economy. I don't know what's going to happen with this pandemic. But I know that we can fully rest our hope and lean into the truth of God's holy word. God loves you. All of these promises can be spoken to our heart. And whatever we are going through, when we stand and lean into the truth of who God is, then we will rest in the shadow of his presence, of his protection. May that be your reality, your truth, your presence. Would you bow with me, please? Gracious Lord, thank you for your goodness. Lord, we have been in unprecedented times, and it's been scary. All of us have found ourselves worrying and wondering and uncertain. And God, all of us have leaned upon something or someone other than you. But God, we pray that you would remind us anew today of how deeply you love us. God, that you gave yourself for our souls, that there's nothing. If you've done that, is there anything we cannot trust you with? Help us to lean into you. You know who's listening that needs to hear a word of your comfort and your encouragement. God, we just pray it might be so. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen and amen.